Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoin on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Gatesworth sponsors this segment. Go to the Gatesworth website, check it out, or maybe take a visit to 170 in Del Mar, 1 McKnight Place, and you'll be impressed. The answer is always yes when you call down to the front desk. The food is outstanding. The activities are endless. The Gatesworth, the finest in senior living.
We do a little thing called Five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University. Let's tee that up before we get to our guest, Reggie Sanders.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's Five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
Frank, the last week and a half have proved 100%, 1,000% that if Goldschmidt heats up, the cards heat up. And if he doesn't, they have zero chance. Is that fair?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can have guys help you for short little stretches, but look, at the beginning of the season, you thought Carpenter and Goldschmidt were the keys. Carpenter is out of the whole saga right now, so I think one of these guys has to perform, and it's going to be Goldschmidt.
Matt Carpenter last night, 0 for 4, 2 strikeouts. Are we concerned, or we just keep... Stay down there for a while and let's see what happens.
Yeah, I don't think it makes any sense to bring him back up if he's sitting there at, 1 for 12 or 1 for 16. Let's see if he can hit, and then you bring him back up.
All right, number two, the best spot in the lineup for Paul DeJong is where? Now, because he's red hot, I'm almost tempted to put him behind Goldschmidt to make sure Goldschmidt keeps getting pitches to hit. But I also don't mind him in front of Goldschmidt getting on base, because Goldschmidt, I think with runners on, is maybe seeing better pitches. You wonder how many times Goldschmidt was up, but the base is empty. I'd love to see that, not to give Hoff a homework assignment tonight, but his batting average, base is empty, batting average, runners on base. It feels like that's made a difference, too, for Goldschmidt.
Yeah, I kind of like him ahead of Goldschmidt. So they'll pitch to him.
So you'd hit DeJong third,
yeah,
and Goldie cleans up until Ozuna comes back.
I like that.
All right, number three, did you see Shaq, who has his name, Shaquille O'Neal, has his name on everything. There's actually a Shaquille O'Neal pregnancy test, and it's got Shaq's smiling face on it. Unless this was a joke on the internet, he has his own, EPT, the early pregnancy. Look it up.
Oh, no.
Do you feel... Maybe his endorsement game has jumped the shark. Are you more likely? I shouldn't have Sean Kemp's picture on there. I mean, I think
that's a legitimate Simpsons joke. Krusty the Clown, who was an over-commercialized actor, had the Krusty the Clown home pregnancy test.
Right.
And then jokingly said may cause birth defects.
When you see Shaq's smiling face, I love Shaq, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd rather see like some famous doctor like Marcus Welby.
Yeah. The Dr. Rick Lehman pregnancy test.
Yeah, any. Nothing against Shaq. It's just like that doesn't fit.
I'm thinking of a 26-year-old young lady married in love and going to bring child into this world, and then you're looking at the picture of Shaq.
It just feels a little odd.
Okay, so what athlete do you want to see on the pregnancy test, Frank?
Well,
probably none.
Reggie Jackson?
Probably none.
No.
But shouldn't it be
Rocky,
one of these prolific, Sean Kemp types?
Maybe it's just a picture of an angel.
Say, be careful,
Picture of an angel or Mary.
Yeah, something a little more. Number four, three or four, I forget now, lap two, lap six. Trevor Rosenthal making $7 million this year is justice, since he's had a really good career, but he hasn't made a ton of money. He's not necessarily earning that seven. God bless Scott
Boras. He deserves
it. Isn't that crazy? And
yeah,
we were looking at, so Jason, here's a great debate. Who had a better career, Jason Mott or Trevor Rosenthal?
Mott's is slightly longer, but Trevor still has time.
Trevor was a little more dominant at his best, but Mott made about $10 million more.
Trevor, four scoreless as a Tiger so far.
Okay. And we thought that they called him up just to showcase
Maybe it's working.
Knowing Rizzo and Boras, they'll probably bring him back to the Nats.
Blow up again.
That Rizzo, all he does is hand Scott Boras money.
Yeah.
The GM in Washington, it's unbelievable.
Well, some of it's pretty well spent, though.
Yeah, I mean, there are, marquee players that make
sense.
He has
Strasburg and Scherzer.
All right, time for a – instead of the can I sell you on 90, Frank spent a little time down at Mizzou. Can I get you to 10-2?
Look at this. Hold on a second. My friend Joe Pasciotta dropping by Oberweiss for us. Vanilla milkshakes?
Wow. Frank could pay off a few of his milkshake
back. Yeah, Frank, I'm here at
Plowsy, hop in the car.
Where's Charlie Marlowe? Is he owed a milkshake?
The Oberweiss shakes have arrived.
I think Charlie owed me and I owed Plowsy.
That's it. Okay. Yeah.
So Charlie has his. But Charlie's not coming
over. Wow. How about this?
Is that vanilla or is that chocolate?
He said chocolate.
Oh, boy, that's good. All
right. And it's got sort of the chocolate cookie swizzle stick going.
Yeah. Joe Pasciotta, good friend.
Wow. Where were we?
Now we need Pedro from Lester's to stop by.
We're here till 12.
There. Lemon pepper, garlic
working that
wings.
Clayton Road perimeter. Number five, is there something to it when Wainwright pitches? They're just more likely to win. They were losing that game the other night, 7-0.
He said he made it all possible.
Yeah, if it weren't for him giving up the 7, they wouldn't have had the epic comeback. That was always his joke about the 2012 NLDS, that he coughed up the 6 runs.
I'm sure there's not a stat out there, but a pitcher, a part of 2 games where his team scored 9 runs in one inning and 10 in the other. There's never been
on one road trip.
Yeah, that's
in
crazy.
The game he started, they scored 9 and they scored 10.
Thanks, Joe.
In a single inning. And we've talked in the past, midday grind days, we always said maybe there is just some intangible when one guy starts that they're more likely to win. Now, Hudson's got the best stat, which is they've won 11 of his last 12 starts, and he's been pitching really well. But with Wainwright, even when he doesn't pitch well, just somehow they manage to win. It's sort of a weird deal. It might be a good argument. If you're the guy who says wins are overrated or wins are stupid, you might use last night as an example. You might use last night as an example of that. But it doesn't matter. Cards get the win, and they're actually underway already in Pittsburgh, closing out this 8-game road trip, currently 6-1, 10-2 over their last 12, 10-3 since the All-Star break. Things are looking – it's just a lot more fun when they play better, isn't it? Just more interesting to watch, more interesting to talk about.
And even last night when they went down early, you just had a feeling – they were going to score.
Yeah, 2-0 did not seem to be the death knell that it was literally a few weeks ago, a month ago. You just wonder what they're going to do, and we've talked about it. And I think the commish, Rick Hummel, his answer on Matt Carpenter was, I'll give him a couple of weeks. That's a longer leash than we were sort of thinking.
That's the longest leash that anybody would give.
I don't think Mozeliak on the lie detector would say that.
No way.
And he still has value, and Edmund is not tearing it up. Munoz overall not tearing it up. But I just think if Carpenter comes back, he's going to have to produce at some point.
Yeah.
And just getting – and commissioned he would take some walks. I think that's the big dilemma with Carpenter. And we keep quoting Van Slyke, but we had a great baseball conversation last week. He feels – I think he said it – that Carpenter kind of fell in love with the on-base percentage. And then you become a walk guy instead of a doubles machine.
Even Rick Horton, who's – a little bit more even pro-Cardinal than you've been lately.
well, Rick will be part of my tour of the DeWitt Tower later today.
But you can just detect it in his voice when there's like a runner on third with less than 2 outs and Carpenter, you know, looks like he's looking for a walk instead of somehow getting, you know, the barrel of the bat and getting that run home, whether it's a single or not. You can just detect it in his voice.
Hadn't that become a critique of Joey Votto also? In recent years, for a guy who could be a power guy, that too often he's just trying to get on base, just padding.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And you look at Votto's game and even Carpenter's game. You have the potential, it's proven, to hit 36 home runs or to have 45 doubles. And the only way you're going to do it, and again, it was Andy who said, swing your way out of it. So when you come back, just do more swinging than taking. But Carpenter, couple of games in at Memphis, has not exactly been tearing it up. And this lineup, minus Ozuna, minus Carpenter, and minus Molina. Those are three, you know, opening day, who are your three bigger, pretty big pieces? Carpenter, Ozuna, Molina, all three out during this stretch. And so when everybody's back and everybody's healthy, if for some reason the lineup stalls or stagnates, then it's going to be up to Schilt to kind of manipulate the playing time.
You know, it'll be interesting to see. And Joey Votto's still got his career left. Much of it, he's got a chunk of his career left. Whether he is going to end up in the Hall of Fame, because he's only at 278 home runs, but he is a 308 lifetime hitter. The RBI total is 925. A six-time All-Star. He's won a Gold Glove. Been a part of some terrible teams, but seven times he's been the on-base percentage leader in the National League.
My blink on him is not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, if Steve Garvey's not in, even though they're kind of opposite in one sense.
Not a Hall of Famer, but probably borderline. And I think his war, career war, is borderline, like Hall of Fame. I'm not sure what the Jaws is, our guy who does nothing but break down Hall of Fame worthiness. Your gut on Joey Votto is
no.
Really good player, but not a Hall of Fame player.
All right, let's switch topics and welcome to the conversation a man who's going to be honored this weekend as part of one of the great Cardinal teams, at least on paper, we've ever had, the 2004 Cardinals. He's a world champion. He's a former All-Star. He is Reggie Sanders. Reggie, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me on.
So, Reggie, I know you're a part of that 2001 Arizona World Championship team, and I think you played with maybe eight teams total. But I'm wondering, strictly talent-wise, was that team here in St. Louis, the 2004 team, the most talented team you were ever with?
Yeah, I got chills as you were expressing that. I definitely agree with you 100%. I mean, I think one of the things that stuck out most to me, I think when I felt that we had a pretty good team going into the season, and then when we acquired Larry Walker, I mean, it took us to another level of ease, 2004, and so I would have to say absolutely, that definitely was probably the best team I've been a part of.
And Reggie, I was talking with Tony La Russa earlier today, we do a weekly podcast, and I said back in the day, you were the boss, and I said, he always had that great line, he said, you've got the locker, I've got the office. It was real clear he was in charge. I said, now I'm wondering, years later, at reunions, when you guys get together, I said, the tables could be turned. You're not really in charge. He said, these guys are relentless. He said, they pick on me like nobody's business. Has that been your sense, too? Now that Tony's not in charge, you guys getting even?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Tony is amazing. He's probably, you know, since I've been with the Cardinals, when I played 2004, obviously playing against him, you know, it was a back-and-forth battle, and you just didn't like him from afar. But when I got a chance to play for him in 2004, you know, we just kind of built this bond that is still strong to this day. And we probably talk once a month, and it's just his character, you know, what he represents and what he was able to do in 2004, I thought was pretty cool. It set the culture in terms of from a family perspective. You know, the most meaningful thing a player can do, player to player, is earn the trust of another player. And Tony set that stage so beautifully. So he's just a great man.
You also were a teammate of Albert Pujols at the absolute zenith of his career. Why was he special? And did you know while you were lockering next to him that you were a teammate of one of the greatest players of all time?
Yeah, I did. You know, it was very, prevalent, you know, when you first, you know, even from afar playing against him and then obviously getting a chance to see him day in and day out in terms of his preparation, in terms of his thought pattern. And just how relentless he was as a human being. And also, you know, what we, as, you know, you're starting to see more and more players stepping up in terms of their faith about overcoming, just adversity. And so he's just a well-rounded human being that you just love to watch every single day. But what I'm so grateful for and to be a part of is to play with him and also to get a chance to my family and his family to be very close as well.
In 2004, the Red Sox win the World Series, but looking back, that NLCS with the Astros, the fact that you went to Houston, I believe up 2-0, you lose all three, and Game 5 was brutal. It's the Jeff Kent walk-off. You got to fly all the way back to St. Louis. But then the epic Game 6, Edmonds' home run saves the season. The next night he has a catch. Roland hits a homer. You beat Roger Clemens. I think in terms of not winning at all, but just that NLCS would have to rank right up there with one of the better series, even in Cardinals history, better postseason series.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, one of the things I think, you know, we as players, when we look back, you know, in terms of competition, is you're absolutely right, is being able to embrace those moments and to embrace the, you know, the pressure of expectation. And, you know, and really to have composure, you know, to the adversity of in Houston and getting back home and understanding that, you know, we have an opportunity to do something special. So you're absolutely right. I mean, those moments are always embedded in all of our lives in terms of players and in terms of fans as well.
Reggie, there's an axiom in baseball that if you can play, a scout will find you, and you are living embodiment of that. I think your college was Spartanburg Methodist College. How did you end up there?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things, and I share this a lot with young kids, is I didn't get an opportunity to play my senior year in high school, which was daunting because I wasn't disciplined enough in terms of my education, and so it afforded me not to play my senior year, and so it really woke me up in a way that I needed to be woken up. And so grades-wise, I had to go to a junior college to kind of get things where I needed to be from an educational standpoint and also from a self-actualization standpoint as well. And so getting the opportunity to play at Spartanburg Methodist College, we were ranked seventh in the nation at the time, and so it was very heavy scout attendance at that time. So got the opportunity to get seen by a lot of scouts, and Cincinnati Reds was the team that was really and heavily interested in me, and then here I am.
Reggie Sanders with Frank and Martin here on 590 The Fan, a member of the 300-300 Club, more than 300 career home runs, more than 300 stolen bases, and back this weekend in St. Louis as they celebrate the anniversary for the 2004 NLCS team. And what we always talk about when we mention Reggie Sanders, we always say the smile, the personality. And I'm wondering, is there ever a day when Reggie's in a bad mood? Because we didn't see it for sure here in St. Louis.
Oh, absolutely. You know what's funny is that, you know, when I work with the Kansas City Royals, and so, which I love, and, you know, it's all about cultivating and supporting the culture within the organization. And so everything we do from a positive perspective. And so what I love is that, you know, the challenge of life and overcoming adversity and understanding it's a mindset, and you still have to move forward in everything that you do from a work perspective and an ethics perspective and a mindset perspective. So, yeah, so that's just part of my DNA. It was the way that my mom and dad instilled in me to keep going. And so I'm just happy I'm able to continue to share that with the next generation of young men.
Yeah, part of your great demeanor is because of your faith. But if I remember correctly, as a father, didn't you have like a lot of girls? How many daughters do you have?
Yeah, I have four girls, and we can't forget my wife. So I have five in the house, and so they're all doing great. So I have my 26-year-old. She finished Anderson University, criminal justice major there. Then my 21-year-old is at Coastal Carolina University studying special education. Then my, Carson, my 18-year-old, just graduated, and she'll be going to USC, travel nurse. And then my last one is Cooper, and she is 14 and a 10th grader and the fifth best soccer player in the state of South Carolina. So, everybody is doing amazing. My wife is doing wonderful, and, you know, she's doing a lot of work at the school that the kids go to, and which my youngest goes to, and actually a substitute teacher and booster club president, and actually she's a head basketball coach as well. So she's definitely got a lot on her plate too.
This is how nice Reggie Sanders is, Frank. Back in the day, we had him on the radio. I said, do you mind doing a radio? No, not at all. He agrees to come on the show. And before we bring him in, we played the Johnny Cash, I've Been Everywhere, Man. And we did Pittsburgh, San Francisco. And he said, wait a minute. He said, I come on your show, and you're going to rattle off Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Arizona. We took that Johnny Cash, I've Been Everywhere, Man, and I think we put it to all of his cities he'd been to. But every city was lucky to have Reggie Sanders now working for the Royals. And we've got some friends over there. Who talks more, Rex Hudler or Joel Goldberg? Be honest.
Oh, my God, that's so good. You know what? Let's just say they're equal. How about that?
What is your official role there? And do you see Mike Matheny at all, who's also working for the team?
Very good, yeah. So my current role is special assistant to baseball operations. So what that means is really getting the opportunity to support the culture and cultivating new and innovative ideas for baseball operations, and also helping to foster players in the minor league as well. And alongside Mike Sweeney as well, who we all love. And then Mike Matheny got an opportunity to see him doing spring training and some of our private meetings as well. And so it's just great to see him, you know, really get back into the game. He has a lot to offer. Great man, and so his role right now is really just supporting baseball operations as much as he can.
And Reggie, your playing weight was what, and what are you right now?
Oh man, I think I'm probably my playing weight was 205, and then right now I am probably 200.
You've really let yourself
go. You're going the wrong way. Haven't you been to celebrity golf tournaments? All these guys go the other way.
Oh, my God. You know, my father died of a heart attack at 50. And so it gave me this urgency to not stop. And so, yeah, so that I owe it all to a lot of things.
What Cardinal that you haven't seen are you most excited about seeing or at the reunion on Saturday? Who haven't you seen for a while?
Wow, there's a lot of guys I haven't seen. I haven't seen Matt Carpenter, Woody Williams. I just saw Jason Marquis at the draft. Let's see. Jim Edmonds. I haven't seen Jim Edmonds in a while. As well. I think Ray King is coming. Tony Womack.
That's
Marlon
a good team.
Anderson. Yeah, it's a great team. Yeah, so actually everybody, you know, because obviously, as you know, as players, we, you know, retired players, we are kind of all over the place and rarely get an opportunity to connect. But when we do connect, it's almost like we talked to each other yesterday. So I'm excited for just rekindling a lot of memories.
And I joked with you about playing certain places, but Cincinnati, San Diego, Atlanta, Arizona, San Francisco, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and St. Louis. And I say this in all curiosity, the Cardinal experience. You're only here for 2 years, but, boy, both years in the NLCS. What was the St. Louis experience like for you? And did it compare to other cities? And not that you have to rank them, but give us an idea about your time here.
Yeah. You know, for me, it's all about authentic connection. It's about family. It's about support. It's about care of people. It's about treating people with respect and dignity. And so when I think of the Cardinals, you know, all those things I just mentioned resonate very strongly in our family's heart. And reason being is because, you know, my wife, you know, sitting in the stands with the kids, every night, and just the pure, you know, just gratitude and respect that they had for my family, I think it stands out for me the most rewarding.
Reggie, honored to have you on the program. We'll see you in St. Louis this weekend. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you, guys. Y'all be well.
All right, Reggie Sanders, a true gentleman in the game of baseball. We'll take a short time out, broadcasting live from the Arbors of Frontenac. We'll be right back.